over the last weekend, we had Diwali. It's an Indian festival. And as part of that, we do a spring clean, right? So I was just going through my wardrobes and I just found the most random stuff in there, which I've never used, but I so vividly remember buying with such purpose. I had like, you know, unused exhibition catalogs and books. I had 7 kazoos that I was going to give as presents to people. And I had every single Bad Boys soundtrack CD ever, which is kind of embarrassing. But, you know, this is my point, which is that I'd accumulated all this stuff without even kind of giving it a second thought. And so International Use Less Stuff Day, it started off as a campaign to create environmental consciousness this close to holiday seasons like Diwali and Thanksgiving and Christmas. But, you know, in a way, it is a good opportunity for us to really confront the way in which we are creating our own climate crisis as well. I'm sure that you felt the heat on Monday as it reached up to 37 degrees in parts of Sydney, which was pretty insane for spring. And then you couple that with all these reports about the CSIRO saying that, you know, climate change is here, it's happening now, and we need to reevaluate our lifestyles. So I thought, naturally, let's turn to a bit of an expert on this. Let's have a chat. Let's try and unpack some of this. I've got Izzy Phillips with me on the line. Izzy, of course, is the extraordinary comedian who you might know from her TED Talk last year. Izzy, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not doing too bad. Thanks for coming on the show. And look, I think one of the most interesting things about your work is that, you know, you're an environmental advocate. Like, you care about this stuff and you really do weave it into your work and into your comedy sets and all that kind of stuff. What exactly drove you to start making the decision to be more political and more advocating for climate change in your work?
So I live with a scientist and somebody who works in renewable energy, and in, you know, our day-to-day lives in the homes would be chatting about all these different things, and it felt like, you know, they would be going to their 9-to-5 and making impact in their work. And I always felt kind of upset that I lacked the traditional skills of a scientist or, you know, somebody who works in policy or works in engineering. And then when I realized that actually I can start talking about climate in my own work, I became really empowered because it's a different tool in the kind of climate toolkit, and everybody has a different skill that they can use to contribute to the movement.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's awesome that you were able to, you know, reframe the way that we see these kinds of traditional roles of, like, you know, being in media or entertainment as not necessarily being political or being able to make those kinds of big changes and broach these important issues. And I mean, is that something that you're seeing a lot of personally, like creatives and artists and people with platforms, especially emerging people with platforms, weaving more advocacy into their work? How do you think that people are reacting to that?
Well, I mean, we have media resistance to climate change here in Australia more so than in other parts of the world. Mm. And I think that a lot of us are getting really frustrated and really distressed by the lack of action and media kind of spinning lies around the science around climate. So we have to kind of take it into our own hands to talk about the science, to relay the facts, and then also make ground on people that may not now believe in climate change because they've read this headline saying that it isn't true. Now we have to make up for that work done by some of the media.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, especially with traditional conglomeratized media, it can be really difficult to, you know, actually cut through and talk about things that aren't being pork rolled by big political agendas. But, you know, I want to mention, you know, your TEDx Youth Talk last year in particular, because, you know, that's such an interesting way of being able to talk about something that is heavy hitting, that is, you know, important, that that has real, I guess, ramifications in a way that seems from the outside to be lighthearted. Do you want to tell us a little bit about exactly what that talk was about and how you did it?
Yeah, for sure. So within the TEDx talk, I partnered ASMR and comedy to talk about the difference effects that we'll experience under a warming climate. And a lot of the times, you know, we kind of become numb to hearing about some of the impacts that we're going to experience both on a globalized and localized level. So I thought, okay, let's take these, you know, bizarre mediums that a lot of young people are interested in, like ASMR, and then partner that with comedy to kind of reframe or recontextualize how we relate to and listen to science. Because it gets to a point where we don't really hear the science anymore. Like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, no, we're going to get these devastating bushfires. Oh, yeah, yeah, we're going to lose whole islands. All this stuff is going to happen. But when you say it in a different way or recontextualize the data, it allows people to rehear it or hear it again.
Yeah, and I think like what you were saying about taking this medium and really understanding what resonates with people and using that as a channel to, you know, being able to broach climate advocacy is really interesting. And I want to ask you about that a little bit, because, you know, I think social media especially gives us so many different ways and ideas and avenues to be more conscious of world issues. Like you look at what happened with Black Lives Matter earlier this year. You look at all the kind of work that's being done on social media with, you know, gender equality and queer equality and climate action as well. And it's all great, fantastic stuff. But also one of the things about social media and how people communicate in particular is that, you know, it is so trend driven and so fast paced, right? And there's a lot of turnover. And I think you see it a lot with certain kinds of advocacy. It's like there'll be a kind of trend that's happening. People jump on a bandwagon and then the next thing comes along and people forget about it. So how do you think that we can continue to, you know, be more sustainable and really devote ourselves to that slow change without giving into the trendiness of it all?
Well, the thing about climate change is it's all interconnected. I mean, our problems aren't competing. Our problems are colliding. So when we're thinking about gender equality or we're thinking about structural racism, these all feed into climate change. And when we're able to address, you know, issues of structural racism or issues of gender inequality, then at the same time, we're able to address different impacts that are spawned from that and create and replicate these issues that we're seeing within our climate.
Yeah, absolutely agree there. I think it totally is this kind of specter that has tentacles in everything climate change. And look, I want to ask you as well, like on a personal level, do you see hope at the end of the tunnel? I mean, you know, after this kind of crazy year that we've had, starting off with fires, all these reports from the CSIRO about how devastating climate change is going to look for us, not in tens of years, but in, you know, a couple of years' times. Like, how do you feel about it? Like, are you hopeful that we will start to see a bit of a turnaround with attitudes surrounding climate change?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a friend who's a scientist, and I was talking to her about this exact thing, and she was saying, you know, in the kind of world that she works in with kind of some stuff, she's saying that she doesn't really see things coming back, that we've almost reached a tipping point. Then when she's speaking, you know, to friends or colleagues, that there is hope. And I think that we have to have hope. And I feel like there is some change and tipping point coming. I mean, you know, we're setting targets for 2050. It's way too late. But the fact that we're having these conversations, and I think that hopefully things will ramp up. I think the summer that we had, you know, end of last year, start of this year, was a real wake-up call and really agenda set climate. So I think the more impacts that we have on these grand scales, I mean, it's awful, because we don't need, you know, the Statue of Liberty to be covered in water to understand that the effects happening now, because they are happening on these levels that we're seeing every single day, but it's just not on these grand scales. But I do have hope, because I think we have to. And hope is active. So by getting out there and, you know, advocating or divesting or, you know, putting your interest or money in climate-focused projects, that's ways of also having hope.
Absolutely. Totally agree. And, you know, I think being active also doesn't need to necessarily always be this huge grand gesture of advocacy, right? Like, it is International Use Less Stuff Day. And, you know, I guess on a final note, I'd love for you to give us a couple of pointers on how we can be better advocates for climate change, how we can use less stuff, and how we can, I guess, fight the good fight.
Yeah, so I think for me, one of the most powerful and tools of climate advocacy is just talking to people, just having conversations about how climate change is making you feel and talking about the different things in that space. I know, you know, some of my family members, I'm a mining community originally, and so I have family who work in the mines, and they're quite not as receptive to understanding or talking about climate issues. But the more that you kind of talk to them, you say, hey, no, this is really affecting me. This is making me feel really upset and really anxious. Having those personable conversations one-on-one have a bigger effect in the long-term or short-term as well. And another thing I would say as a good, easy, multi-pronged approach is looking at divesting, so where your money is sitting, whether that's, you know, in a bank or in a super fund, you know, taking that money out of a super fund that's actively investing in fossil fuels and putting it into a super fund or a bank that's investing in climate focused projects. Or another thing that's also becoming popular as well is getting involved in these companies. And then when you're involved in, say, a bank or AGL or one of these companies, you become a shareholder. Mm. You can start pushing the needle forward and saying, well, I'm actually a shareholder here and I have a vote, and I'm saying that we need to put forward, you know, a policy for climate.
Definitely. So many different avenues and ways of getting involved. Words of wisdom from Izzy Phillips. Thank you so much for joining us on 2SER. It's been a pleasure to have a chat with you.
Thank you.